You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Julie Burstein. I'm here for Leonard Lopate today. For many of us, if we dare to look back on our teenage years, we may be able to find a single day that asked us to call on all of our life's previous experience, and then some. Whether it was a trauma at school, a love that never actually happened, a familial blowout, or all three, we've all been through those epic days of young life. In his new book, Everything Happens Today, author, translator, and chef Jesse Browner follows a New York City teenager through a day's worth of disillusionment and confusion, love and understanding, Beatles lyrics, and lost virginity. The book was just published by Europa Editions, and I'm pleased that it brings Jesse Browner to our show today. Welcome.
Thanks, Julie. Glad to be here.
Now, Jesse, you wear a lot of different hats. You are a literary and diplomatic translator, a food writer, a novelist. You may also be a fireman and a maker of artisanal ice cream. We didn't see that in your bio, but it seems
That's
like
coming.
You do. That may be coming. Where do you find time to actually write?
Well, Julie, let me tell you, I once had a fight with my father many years ago. I was complaining that I couldn't find any time to write, and he finally lost patience with me, and he said, stop bitching. Sorry, I'm not sure if I can say that.
I'm not sure.
You know, if you're a writer, you'll find time to write. And the truth is that you don't find the time, you make the time if it's important enough. It's the only thing I've ever wanted to do since I was 16 years old. Wes's age, and I make the time. I'm very lucky that I'm an early morning person, so I tend to get up before dawn. I write for 3 hours, then I walk the dog and get the children ready for school.
And happens.
Yeah, it happens. It's not always ideal, and my wife can attest to the fact that it doesn't always make me happy to do it that way, but. It's worked out very well for me so far.
Do you find that those early morning hours are the ones where your imagination is most easily accessible?
Absolutely. I wake up wide awake at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm ready to write. I sit down 10 minutes later, and by nine, I'm useless for anything else, and that's when I go to work.
Now, is it helpful or is it distracting to you as a writer to have so many different areas of influence? I mean, you've got a family, you've got very vibrant work, both as a literary translator and as a diplomatic translator. Do those things feed into your work?
Absolutely. There's no question, especially the translation. I've learned a lot about writing by translating, because as a translator, you are really responsible to somebody else for taking their work and returning it to them in as good or even as better condition as you found it. And I find that when I apply that to my own writing, instead of feeling as if I have the freedom to say anything I want and any way I want to say it, I feel as if I have responsibility to those words, to polish them to the absolute nth degree until they sparkle. And every single word has to count very much in the same way in fiction writing as it does with translating.
So it sounds like you are not just a writer, you're a rewriter.
Yes, I am. Very yes. much so. I generally tend to throw away the first third of a book when I get to the end of it because it's changed so much. But I'm sure that's the same for almost any writer.
This book is set in New York, which is a place you know well as both someone who spent time here growing up and also now as someone who lives here with your own family. Tell us about the family in Everything Happens Today. Who are they?
Well, it's a small family. Father, mother, Wes, who's the hero of the novel, and his younger sister, Nora. They live in a somewhat dilapidated townhouse in the West Village. They have lived there for many years, and unlike their neighbors, they are not especially wealthy. There are a number of dysfunctions happening in that family, and Wes finds himself very much at the center of all of them. He's somebody who assumes the burden of responsibility that has been dropped by the parents. His mother is very ill, and she is bedridden. and he takes care of her as best he can. His little sister, whom he adores, is suffering very much from a lack of parenting, both from their mother and from their father, who is kind of absent. Although he lives in the house, he has his own apartment in the basement, and he really doesn't take any responsibility for the emotional well-being of the house. So Wes picks that up, too.
That's a tough burden for a 16- or 17-year-old to shoulder.
Yes, it is, but 17-year-olds, I find, have a great sense of morality. I don't want to make very much of the autobiographical elements of this book, but I was in a similar situation at his age, and I felt the moral burden of it very heavily, and I drew on that a lot in creating Wes's emotional life. It is a lot, but I don't know very many teenagers who wouldn't do exactly as he does in a similar situation.
You know, there's so much in popular culture about teenagers pulling away from the family or being alienated. In this book, Wes is doing his best to pull the pieces together. And is that sort of push-pull something that you've seen both as a son and as a father?
Very much so. My family now is spread out all over the world. I have two sisters in England. My father and my brother are in California. And it's always a struggle for us to come together. As a father of two teenagers who were largely the models for the two teenagers in the book, I see that at that age, they are pulling away and drawing closer at exactly the same time. It's part of what makes them so cranky, because it's a very difficult way to live.
Yeah. And it is, I think. I have teenagers also. As a parent, it can sometimes be very confusing as well.
It is. There are inexplicable rages. Of course, you know the embarrassment of being seen anywhere near their parents.
And wonderful, inexplicable affection as well.
Yeah, it kind of bursts upon you like a molten chocolate cake. Very rarely. You don't want to have it too often.
Now, Wes himself is a young man who, as you say, is very responsible emotionally for these people he loves. But he spends a lot of time thinking about things. He's someone who does seem to spend a lot of time just processing and ruminating. And it is a novel, so this is what you often get, is people's thoughts. But he also loves literature. He's working almost simultaneously on War and Peace and a manual for weapon.
Well, he's just had his term paper rejected by his teacher. He's a straight-A student in English. He loves literature. He lives and breathes it. And I think he goes a little bit too far. He thinks he can get away with writing his term paper on the military user's manual for the M16 rifle. And in the paper, he goes deeply into sort of this literary analysis of the prose style and who the author might be. And his teacher finds that he's taken it one step too far. And she gives him 2 days to write a paper that she can accept. And over the course of this one day in which the book takes place, he has to decide what he's going to write about, and he focuses on War and Peace because he's already read it. He doesn't like it very much, but as he's walking around the streets of New York in the course of the day and thinking about all of his other problems, he realizes more and more that there are similarities between the interaction of the characters in that book and his own life.
I'm speaking to Jesse Browner, and his new novel is Everything Happens Today. It's published by Europa Editions. Now, there are events that happen just before this day that take Wes out of the life of the mind and into the life of the body. He has just lost his virginity, and he also is spending this day looking for sweetbreads to make a meal for his family, which also brings you into the kind of messy insides of life. I thought this was a wonderful way of taking a teenager from both the sort of life of the mind to the life of what teenagers and all of us feel, the life of the body.
Well, I mean, of course, I'd like to think that Wes is an interesting person on any day. But if we had chosen to follow him the day before or the week before, we probably wouldn't have had this conjunction of all these problems that all come together on this day, which is, of course, why it's Everything Happens Today. Yes, he's just lost his virginity the night before, and it's to the wrong girl. He's been in love, deeply in love with another girl for several years.
Who he can hardly even talk to.
Yeah, he can hardly talk to her. She also is partially based on somebody who doesn't know that I pined after her for several years in high school. So he, after a very long and difficult night, he comes home and he is deeply upset with himself. He feels as if he's betrayed himself. He feels as if he's somehow broken his own heart, that everything that he's worked for has gone for nothing. At the same time, he finds that his mother, who, as I said, is ill, has been brooding over a lost meal from her honeymoon. And she asks him if he would cook her sweetbreads for dinner. Wes doesn't even know what sweetbreads are. He has to look them up on his iPhone, and he almost gags. But his mother is very insistent. So he spends the rest of the day shopping for ingredients, trying to prepare the sweetbreads. I don't know if you've ever made sweetbreads, Julie.
I never have, but I've heard about it. So, but describe.
They take quite a bit of preparation because they're not ready-to-eat meals, let's put it that way.
And they have a kind of deceptive name. Sweetbread sounds very inoffensive.
Yes, sweetbreads are the thymus glands, usually of a calf. And when you get them, they really look like thymus glands. They're not attractive, and you have to make them look pretty as well as tasty. They happen to taste delicious, and I've been eating them myself since I was a child. But they first need to be parboiled, then they need to be squeezed under a heavy weight so that they are thin enough to cook all the way through. Then there's many ways of doing it, of course. The very first time I made them for the woman who's now my wife, and I poached them in cream, and I almost lost her. I didn't make that mistake again.
but Wes has another way of what's his way of approaching the sweetbreads?
Well, he takes a recipe from a cookbook, a very traditional recipe where you dredge them in flour and you saute them in butter and oil, and then you serve them with a reduction and sautéed mushrooms.
This sounds quite elaborate for a 17-year-old, but this is another passion of his, right?
Yes, he's the family cook, but he generally cooks for his little sister, so he tends to keep it very simple for her. His mother barely eats at all. She really eats nothing but rice pudding, and he almost never sees his father. So this is not only an opportunity for him to be challenged in the kitchen, but he is hoping that somehow the magic of this meal will draw his family together. It's a fairly forlorn hope, given the distance that he has to bridge. But the book does end with the first family meal that they've had in many, many years.
And meals can do that in a wonderful way in our lives.
One hopes they do.
When
that's
we're
always
lucky.
The ideal. That's what you're always aiming for, even if all you're cooking is chicken and rice.
In this book, because you're writing about a teenager in our current day, texts and various ways of electronic communication play quite a role. And in a way, the iPhone itself becomes a character. You talked about how Wes has to look up what sweetbreads are on his iPhone. Was that something very conscious on your part?
Very much so. I remembered as a child, you would come home and the phone would start ringing the minute you got home, always for my sister, and it wouldn't stop ringing all night. Now the phone never rings. My children have so many different ways of communicating, and I do too at this point. I Skype and I text and I instant message, and those machines are so natural in their hands, especially, that it had to become a character in its own right. And it's a character with its own quirks. It brings people together, but it also keeps them apart.
And what's interesting, too, and as a translator, do you think about the ways that language changes when we're typing them in characters on a small screen versus speaking to one another.
Yes, you do. In fact, Wes mentions at one point in the book that he's shocked that one of his interlocutors does not punctuate her texts, and she doesn't capitalize the first word of each sentence. And I wrote that 2 years ago, and I've been doing a lot of texting since then, and I no longer punctuate my sentences or capitalize my first words.
As you wrote this book, did it change the way you view your own kids?
It changed it because I spent a lot of time observing them in a way that I haven't observed them before.
Did they mind that?
They weren't aware of it. Especially my younger daughter was very much aware of being a very straight model for Nora. Her name is Cora. And Cora has...
For the little sister.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The little sister has very... It's very close to who she is. It was much more complicated with Wes because I started out thinking that he would be me. And then I realized that that wasn't possible because I remember myself in a way that I couldn't possibly have been. I couldn't have been that charming or clever or disarming or confident. And I needed to bring in somebody closer to hand to serve as the counterbalance. And that's where my daughter came in. And I recently wrote a short piece about this subject in the Paris Review. And my daughter, who's now at college, called me up and she said, "It was so flattering. Thank you so much." And all I wrote about was how cranky she was and unpredictable she was. So go figure.
Well, it's lovely that she responded in that way. That's great. Because it could go another way, I would think, when one brings in characters from one's own life.
And it may well go another way when she reads it a second time.
Well, thank you. I've been speaking with Jesse Browner about his novel Everything Happens Today, which is published by Europa Editions. Jesse, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it was my great pleasure.